All right, thank you. So welcome, everybody. Good morning. I hope everybody had enough sleep and potentially enough coffee so far. My name is JP Lair. I work at AMD. You can see that there, there, here, and on my t-shirt as well. So in case you missed it, you know, you have plenty of opportunities to see it. So I'm going to talk about Rock'em on the Rocks. Now, what is that? And I learned from a colleague after I put the slides together that they say on the rocks to something when it's in a bad shape. So I was like, that's not the message I want to convey. So for me, on the rocks is just the preferable way to serve a drink that I don't particularly like. Okay? So, but it's Rock'em on the Rocks. So let's first look at Rock'em a bit. So Rock'em is our software stack. Plenty of people probably know. There's a bunch of things in here. That's a picture, a newer picture that I taken from a blog post that we did for a very nice version, Rock'em 7.9 tech preview. In case you didn't know that we had, you know, 7.1, 7.2, and 7.9 anyway. So we have a bunch of operating system support at the bottom. We have then, of course, the infrastructure stuff, including the GPU driver and Kubernetes support and whatever. And then we have the software on top of it, which is the Rock'em Core SDK. That is the one thing that I'm talking about mostly today, which has the compilers, the runtimes, and whatever. And then we have vertical SDKs, which are more domain-specific packages with, you know, extensions to the Core SDK, Tilelet, for example, for data science, right? So we ship more stuff there. And then we have more operating system support, monitoring support. And then, of course, right on top there is the whole AI ecosystem that you know, is very, very, very prominent right now. So talking about the expansion SDKs, there is one for HPC. There's a couple of things where it adds value for Fortran. So if you actually want to call into some of the HIP libraries that we ship, so HIP-FFTW or whatever, HIP-FFT or something, the Rock'em HPC expansion SDK comes with HIPFort, which generates all the bindings that you can use from your Fortran application to call into those HIP libraries. And then there's the Rock'em Data Science expansion SDK that gives you GPU accelerated data processing. I am not an expert, so I asked some colleagues, and it apparently includes the HIP-DF, which is HIP data frame, so the data frames processing, and HIP graph and HIP-MM, and it's out of preview, so it should work, right? So you can go check it out and see if it actually does work. And then we also have the Rock'em Life Science Expansion SDK that gives you GPU accelerated I/O and some medical image processing. That is, as much as I know, still in early access state. So you may see a couple of bumps there, but both of them are also compatible with the RAPIDS ecosystem. So I think that's one of the most important things here. So then, looking at the Core SDK again, this is what most people think of, or at least what I think of as kind of the Rock'em thing, right? We have the compiler. We have the math libraries, we have the communication libraries and whatnot. And this is actually what the Rock builds, or what the Rock is for, and then the Rock. What is the Rock, right? So the Rock is basically our path forward to build, test, and distribute Rock'em, right? It also comes with a couple of changes in how we organize our software in terms of the repository structure. And one of the goals is, probably one of the main goals, is to make it not only easier to build and ship it, but also faster, right? Previously we had, you know, multi-weeks in between Rock'em releases. With the Rock, we build a nightly so that you can get, you know, the most coolest features every night. So coming to why, again, faster shipping, but also, I mean, building Rock'em was, just put it politely, not obvious, right? Anybody here tried to build Rock'em? Yes. Who agrees that building Rock'em wasn't obvious? Yes, okay, see. So with the Rock, it's getting better, certainly. So I think one of the cool things here is that actually making your software buildable is embracing the open source ecosystem, right? Because, I mean, if we open source the stuff, that's great, but if you cannot build it, that's worthless, right? So that's, I think that's great. So speaking of the rock is now kind of the single source of truth, right? And as part of that, the components or the libraries and the system level stuff, those have been integrated into what is called super repositories. So instead of having like, I don't know, 56 different repositories, there is now only 4 or 5 maybe, right? And I think that's a big step forward because it's now a little more obvious what you actually need in order to build Rockham in the first place. And so inside the rock, you will have references to those other repositories that bring in the components. You will have the build recipes, and you will have the containers that we use as the build environment to actually build Rockham. In addition, test recipes and packaging recipes, although I think the test recipes aren't there yet, and the packaging recipes are also still a little bit on under development. So the repo consolidation, what does it actually mean? There now is a single Rockham Libraries super repo that has all the, let's say, AMD SMI and other system level components that have been previously in the, living in their own repository. So they are now consolidated here in Rockham Libraries. Then there is the Rockham Systems. The Rockham Libraries, of course, is the libraries. I was confused here a bit. The Rockham Libraries has all the math libs and, you know, those sorts of things. The Rockham Systems has AMD SMI, so the systems level stuff. Apologies for the confusion here. And then we also have RockGDB as one of the other like high-level components. And then we also have the compiler. Okay, so those are kind of like your 4 high-level components that you actually need in order to build the Rockham core SDK. And I'm a compiler person, so I really enjoy this one. And also we will see later that the compiler and RockGDB are a little different when it comes to contributing to these things. So if you find a bug, how you would actually help us fixing it is different here. But again, I'm a compiler person, so to me the compiler is special. Okay, not only for contributing reasons, but in general. So how does the rock keep track of the components? So those 4 arrows should refer to the different super repositories that we have, which is the compiler, the libraries, the system, and the debugger. And basically, inside the rock, you will have submodule pointers that keep track of a certain state of that repository, so that this is a combination or a configuration of the rock, right? So this is a particular version that you can build with the rock. And let's see. And then what happens is for the libraries and the systems super repo, these submodule pointers are basically updated every day to track the most recent advancements in those super repositories, if and only if the integration pipeline is green, right? So if you find a test error while you're advancing these submodule pointers, you are not going to maintain that, you're going to roll back, so that the rock is kind of always green. That's the idea, and that's what we want to achieve moving forward. Okay, so building Rockham. That has been a pain in the past. So I'm very happy that, you know, with the rock, I show you commands now, okay? And that actually worked on my machine, TM, right? So this. So all you do is you do a CMake. I use Ninja for building. I set the source to, you know, the rock source. I put in the build directory, and I want to build for the AMD GPU families GFX 1030. GFX 1030, by the way, is a consumer-grade GPU, right? It's not a data center GPU. So we have much more support now also for the data center, for the consumer-grade GPUs, which I think is great. It's amazing because you don't need to spend thousands of dollars for a data center GPU to try stuff out, right? Okay, but so this, you know, this will build all of it. And that's maybe not what you want because you don't want to wait hours and hours for your command to come back. So maybe you want to use this configuration. So I just added the rock enable all equals off, right? Because we don't want to build all. We just want to build the compiler. I just want to build the compiler again because the compiler is special to me, right? Okay, so we built Flang now. So I tested this on a 16-core, 32-threads machine with 128 gigs of RAM. And you want to add that flag. Because otherwise, you will tell the out-of-memory manager, like, oh, yeah, please do your job, right? Because Flang consumes 6 to 7 gigabytes per process while compiling. So you can easily smash your system if you do not limit the parallelism when you're compiling Flang. The other thing is that the Rock uses something that is called like a job pool or something in CMake. So it will typically spawn more threads or processes than you specifically tell it sometime to do, right? And so there is a CMake flag that you can basically set the Rock background jobs to just one. So it will just respect however many processes you specify when you tell it to build something so you don't overload your system. But again, Flang parallel compile jobs, that's important. And then maybe you also want to, you know, enable the hip runtime because you want to actually produce something that's useful for you. So, you know, you can do that and you can then, with the components that got built here, you can run, compile and run your hip applications, which I think is neat. Because that's way easier than what you used to do. And then, of course, if you run into problems, you know, contributions welcome. All of this is open source, also for the reason that if you stumble across something that doesn't work, open an issue in the Rock or in like one of the specific repositories, you know, create a fork, branch, contribute, whatever. But for RockGDB, it's a little different, and so. The contributions for RockGDB kind of need to be upstreamable at some point. And for upstreaming into GDB, there's a specific process that people need to follow. And I think they have to sign some sort of agreement. That's what you told me.
Yeah, you need to, like, eventually everything which is contributed to RockGDB, you need to transfer the copyright to DFSF.
Okay. Okay, so whatever you contribute to RockGDB needs to be upstreamable, and for that and to make that happen, you have to hand over the copyright to the FSF, so that, you know, that's in a world shape. But so if you have questions about that particular, Lancelot is here, so you can talk to him. And so now, let's look at the compiler. When we look at this picture, I told you that the repositories move forward every night, right? These submodule pointers. For the compiler, they don't. For various reasons, one of them is we merge upstream LLVM into our downstream compiler about 4 to 6 times a day. And there's a lot of churn and there's a lot of breakage coming in. And so we want to give the developers that actually use the Rock for developing a more stable compiler for a certain amount of time. And so we aim for moving the compiler forward every 2 to 4 weeks. So that's why, you know, the error is a little bit higher here. Now looking again, if you want to contribute and looking at the compiler in that regard, the preferred way of contributing to the Rockham compiler is to actually go to LLVM upstream, because that makes it, you know, much nicer, much easier to have for all the other projects that also want to run on AMD GPU, for example, but that rely on the LLVM project to do so. So Triton is an example here, right? They track LLVM upstream, and so if you want to fix a bug in the AMD GPU backend, for example, you want to do that in LLVM upstream so that also Triton can pick it up. And then those changes get merged into the AMD LLVM fork. That's the one that is tracked downstream. And then we have some downstream special sauce that, you know, we contribute only there. And then the ROC will actually track that branch, that fork in its submodule pointer. So let's say you build all of this with the first line here, right? You run CMake build. Probably want to add another dash dash parallel here, actually. And then you can actually just do ctest in the build directory, and it will run some initial tests to see if the build worked and if that actually makes sense what you produced. It does not yet do component level testing if you run it that way. I think that will be there some point, but it's not there yet, at least not with this like super easy command. Now, just again looking at this time frame what I mentioned, in the legacy ROCm version, basically, so this is time now going from left to right, we would merge from our development compiler into the released, into the release branches, let's say here and there, right? So if we would fix a bug in the compiler here, you would need to wait until the next merge to actually get that. And that's kind of bad if you have like a fast-paced ecosystem. And so with a ROC, we will have much more updates into the compiler so that, you know, everybody can benefit from the advancements and from the fixes that we do. And so to sum it up, I think ROCm on the rocks is kind of great because it gives you a really open source way of doing things because it's in the public. And also, like, AMD engineers are encouraged to open up the issues on GitHub, not internally or not only internally, so that, you know, people can track our progress, people can see what we do, and I think this is great. There's also more and more a community around this, so there's an AMD developer community on Discord. If you look at the ROC README, there's a link to it, so you can join that. You know, there's AI folks in there, there's HPC folks in there, there's people from the ROC. So if you have a question about, you know, how to build it or why doesn't that work, that's a great place to be and ask questions. And then for, again, for the more fast-paced ecosystem, which is not necessarily HPC, I know, but for the more fast-paced ecosystem, the faster delivery that the ROC gives us, I think is a great, great thing. So then I put all the references here that I used, so you can actually read them, look at them, and links to the repositories. Then I have this slide that I'm typically need to show you, so I could be wrong here, right? And with that, I thank you very much, and I'm open to questions. Say that again.
There used to be so that every now and then you would get like ROC X point, Y point, Z, all the components would be upgraded.
Okay. Okay, so the question is whether the ROC has a version and all the other components also have a version, and then there's a ROC conversion, how that does all come together? The answer is I don't know. I got confused with the all versioning stuff, but so I don't know what the current status there is. Slide 13. I was asked to go back to slide 13. Which one is that?
What's up with all the branches?
What's up with all the branches? The contributing model for AMD engineers is not that we do forks and then do pull requests, but that everybody opens up branches in those repositories. That's why there are so many branches.
To create staging branches essentially to make the pull request. So
Yes, everybody. Yes, so people who have push writes work in those repositories. And then again, so for example, the Rockham Libraries repository has like, I don't know how many different like sub-projects because all the libraries are in there. So if you just consider, you know, like maybe there's, I don't know, 30 libraries in there, so and so many engineers, that's why you see like up to 1,000 branches.
Please tell me there's a naming scheme.
There is a naming scheme, yes.
Does it make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. Okay, more questions here.
You showed that you need to specify the GPU family. Is it possible to have like a generic build?
So, yeah. So the question was that we need to specify the GPU family and whether it's possible to have generic builds. The answer is yes, it's possible. And actually, so the ROC, there's a distinction between targets and families. Right, so this would be technically a target. The families can be even more abstract, so but I don't recall them because I only think in targets. So it would be like GFX 11 something, and that will give you support for all the GFX 11 based systems that are currently supported. So you can build for multiple architectures at the same time, and I think you could also specify the actual generic targets that we have to build those as well. Yeah. Yeah. So the question is, what's the size difference between a generic build and just a Strix Halo build? And the answer to that is, I don't know. Okay. Yeah. So what was? Yeah, so from the system administrator's hat, the question was, how is that supposed to work with the packaging? And the answer is, I'm not quite sure. There's other people looking at that. But my understanding is that, so right now, this will produce basically chargz artifacts that are currently also just pushed into some S3 storage, so you can download those. And they're also producing Python wheels from it right now. And moving forward, there will be packages for the different distros. And I would hope that there will be some more, let's say, not distro-specific means of grabbing the targz's and putting stuff somewhere. Right? Does that answer your question? Okay, maybe we can take this offline. Okay, cool. So the question was whether we do binary compatibility between releases or for between certain releases. So is that ABI compatibility or? Okay, so my answer to that is I'm not quite sure actually. That might be a question for somebody from the ROC team. I don't know if Marius is here. No, he isn't, okay. But that would be another, so that would be something you can easily ask on this developer community thing. They may have an answer for you there. Okay.
Is there a way for open source developers to get access to some resources, like SSH, and there's a GPU there, you can play with the testing? Yeah.
So the question is there a way for open source developers to get access to hardware, especially like GPUs? So there used to be the AMD developer, the AMD developer cloud, I think it was called. One time I checked it, you had to have like an AMD contact person. I think that has been relaxed a little bit. And there's also now there's another program that I forgot the name of, where it's mostly geared toward AI use cases, I think. But it is in general to bring up the ecosystem around AMD GPUs more. So that might be a vehicle. But yeah, for specifics, I'm not quite sure. I would also need to check the website or, you know, ask people. There you go. More questions? Yes?
How close do you, does it version need to be from the user land and the kernel, like if I have a container with some PyTorch or whatever, and the versions within the container and the whole system, do they be very close?
Okay. So the question is, how close do the versions from user land and kernel land need to be, right? When you have, let's say, a PyTorch container and you have the KFD in your host system, how close do they? At least in the past, we guaranteed two versions up and downwards compatibility from everything. My experience is that it's much more than that. But also there has been some restructuring going on so that we more isolate the things a little bit because of specifically these AI container world. So I don't think it has to be super tightly put together from a version point of view. But again, the details, I'm not entirely sure. So, yeah. And time's up. Thank you. Thank you all.